Welcome to Ambit Energy's Ambitious 50, presented by Ambitious Radio. Whether you are a new marketing consultant, national consultant, or someone considering the Ambit opportunity, if you are looking to be motivated, inspired, and uncover what it takes to get to the next level, listening will be well worth the investment of your time. We have weekly engaging conversations with some of today's most influential Ambit leaders as they discuss their successes, failures, tipping points, and other priceless information that you can go apply immediately to your business after listening. Now, here's your host, Doug Parker.
All right, welcome back to Ambit Energy's Ambitious 50, and today we've got another exciting guest. She is a Pure Energy Award winner. She has been on a five-star trip. She is, again, an executive consultant. She has free electricity and free gas. She has over 1,000 consultants in her downline. A member of the Comma Club, help me welcome Sherelle Slays. How are you, ma'am?
I'm doing good. Thank you for asking.
Well, it is so good to hear your voice, and it was great to meet you a few weeks back in Dallas when you were here on kind of a surprise visit, and we got introduced at one of the business presentations. You graced us with your presence and kind of helped us out with the meeting, and then to see you win the Pure Energy Award recently at Ambition, that was exciting with your little kiddos up there with you. That was good stuff.
Yeah, that was exciting.
Really cool. So really looking forward to visiting with you. I know you've done a lot of exciting stuff with launching a new market, going into the Ohio area and doing all kinds of stuff. But let's kind of jump in and talk a little bit about life, kind of what it was like before Ambit, and then kind of transition into what your why is and what it was that kind of had you put in that extra effort in this business. And then has it changed? Is your why still the same as it was a few years back?
Okay. Yeah, no, absolutely. Life before Ambit was really a corporate life that seemed to be nonstop. I started my corporate career at 21 and I completed it, I must have been 28 years old. But for that 7 to 8 year run in corporate, I was probably trading anywhere from 70 to 75 hours on average a week. And when I say trading, I'm talking about trading my time to earn that income. And I had a really great salary. I was doing really well in corporate. In fact, I promoted all the way through, you know, up to executive, an executive level position. And I didn't want my boss's job, who was the CEO. I didn't want that type of lifestyle. And at that young age, in my 20s, I felt like there was only one way to go, which was into her position. And I just refused to have that lifestyle. So I actually quit my corporate career. And I should say prior to that, there's something that happened pretty relevant. My mother grew sick. She was diagnosed with a terminal illness. And that put some things into perspective for me. She was still going to work every single day in pain while she was receiving treatments, but she still had to go to work. And that was really, it was a suffering experience to see her go through that. She was suffering, I was suffering, watching her go through it. And so I just, when she passed away, I just decided I didn't want that lifestyle. I wanted something different. And I knew there had to be a better way. So I actually quit my corporate career in 2007, and I launched a real estate company. And in that real estate company, I owned and operated it for 9 years, had a lot of success, but received the experience that many of us received in 2008, 2009, which was the recession. And when that recession hit, my agent team went back and got full-time jobs. And my business partner at the time, she and I ended up having to do most of the work, selling homes, representing clients, and buying homes. And it just put me back into that same scenario I had in corporate, which is where I had to trade my time for money. And that didn't work. I'm one of those people where I don't like having to beat to somebody else's drum. So if I got to get up at early in the morning and I'm not ready, or if I have to go to, you know, an appointment that I didn't dictate, it just interrupts my entire day of how I want to live my life. And so what happened was, at the same time when I had this real estate company and the real estate market crashed and I was working my tail off, I had gotten married and started a family. And I had a one-year-old and I was 8 months pregnant. My dad called and said, "You got to take a look at this 20-minute video." And I kept putting them off. I wouldn't look at it. And then finally, I did. I looked at it, and I watched it with my husband, actually. And he and I just kind of looked at each other, and I was like, what do you think? And Raheem said, this makes a lot of sense, but I have a full-time job. This looks like something you would pursue. And I guess three or four daters, I ended up swiping the card and getting started in the business. And so that was kind of, that's how I got started. My why is kind of intertwined in that whole story. Really, I really want my time freedom. I really want to be able to do what I want to do when I want to do it. And at the same time, I wanted to be able to control my financial future, such that if I were to ever get hurt or if I were to ever get sick, I'd have something to fall back on, some sort of residual income stream that I could control, and that would protect me and my family going forward. So that's my why. Has my why changed? Absolutely. Doug, it changes all the time because I'm growing as a person. My family is growing. Fast forward from when I first got started, I had that 1-year-old, and then I had an eight-month-old, and then I delivered that baby about 8 weeks later, but then I got pregnant again 12 months after that. So I had 3 children under the age of 3, still had my struggling real estate company that, you know, we were working hard to keep the lights on. And then I launched Ambit as another income stream for the family. And so extremely busy. So my why then became really wanting my time back and also getting into a position where I'd be able to afford having the children.
Well, a quick question for you. So here's one of the things I know I personally struggle with it, and I know there are other people out there that do as well. So you're very busy, okay, and you saw it, you got it, you carved out some time for it. And, you know, so we bump into people all the time and we're talking about it and I go, oh, I'm so busy, I can't do anything else. Now, me personally, I work about 80, maybe 90 hours a week, which is way too much, but that's just kind of how I've always been. So when I hear somebody talk about, oh, I'm busy, and I know they're working a 40-hour work week, and I know they're watching a lot of TV or whatever, I want to just drill them. I'm like, dude, you don't know what busy is. However, can you just talk about that a little bit? Because you had a bunch going on. You got 3 kids. You've got this. You've got that. How do you... You know, now, of course, you got a little time freedom now, but in that transition, when you had your real estate company, when you had the 3 kids, when you're doing all these different things, and someone threw out that excuse to you, how do you cope with that, or how do you transition through that with them?
When a person says they don't have the time to build a business?
Yeah.
I said, you know, time is the great equalizer. We all only have 24 hours in the day, so it's all about how you prioritize your time. So you got to identify what's important to you. And if you keep that why in front of you, and if that why, and when we talk about a why, and you always hear people say, oh, you need a why that makes you cry. That is so real. It needs to be center of your life. Everything that you do has got to beat toward achieving that why. And so, I always say you got to get connected with your why. And once you're connected with your why and you're really clear on that, you begin to prioritize your day where you have enough time to build this business, because it's this business that's going to allow you to achieve that why. So I just, you know, I'm no nonsense when it comes to people giving me excuses about they don't have time. That makes no sense to me, because I'm extremely full in my schedule, extremely. And there's just never enough time in the day to get everything done that I want to get done. But I make certain that I keep Ambit Energy as center. My family, God, those are center in my life. And those are the things that get done. All of the other extracurricular activities that I used to do, I just don't do anymore because I don't have time for that. I'm on a mission. And so it's just a matter of prioritizing your time.
Well, no, so and that's fantastic, because, you know, maybe we've got somebody that becomes a consultant and then they start making excuses. But I'm saying, you're talking to a person, you've invited them and you've presented to them, and then they just throw that out at you that they're well, I think I'm probably too busy for this. And you haven't even gotten a chance to get to their why, I mean, literally where they're engaged and have decided to do Ambit. Because
right.
For me, and again, I'm just being a little transparent. For me, I start talking, it frustrates me because I know how busy I am. And I'm like, you don't even know what busy is, person. You know what I mean? What
right.
are you talking about? So do you have those folks that haven't made the commitment yet, but they're talking about how busy they are? And how can you transition
yeah.
through that piece?
Yeah, you know, I listen. I listen to where they're coming from, because what they're really saying is that they're scared. You know, they're not certain. They're just scared. They just don't believe in the opportunity. They haven't seen enough. There's just, you know, this is the first time or second time that they've been exposed to it. So they're just not certain if this opportunity is going to get them what it is that they are looking for. So first, I start telling them how I built the business. And, I think a traditional thinking person, which most of us are because we live in a traditional world and have traditional jobs, we're thinking we got to set aside 8 hours a day to build the business, or even 4 hour chunks a day to build the business. And that's not true. You really just need 15, 30 minute increments throughout the day to be able to build the business. And it doesn't necessarily have to be consistently every day. It could be, every other day, or maybe it could be twice a week. Just as long as you're at it for a consistent, persistent period of time, then you're going to be able to get, reach the goal that you're looking to reach. I also talk about the fact that the model that we shared is a compounded model. It compounds your time. So we're not talking about linear time here, which, again, a traditional way of thinking. We're talking about compounding your time. So let's say you only had 5 hours to give to the business per week, which is really my experience for the last, 2-3 years, given my schedule and the children and everything. You start to build your team of and exposing the business to your network. That time begins to compound, because you're going to come across people that come into your business that might even be more excited than you are, or have more time to put into the business, such that begins to compound over a period of time. So that's the response that I typically give to a prospect who just feels like they don't have enough time to build the business. And I say, listen, if I did this in 15 to 30 minute increments at the very beginning of my career, then you can too. So that's how I share that.
And so you are an Ambit consultant. You've been an Ambit consultant for how long now?
I've been 4 years now.
You know what? That broke up real quick. What was that again?
For 4 years.
Okay, for 4 years. Very good. And can you talk a little bit about, how your kind of invitation works? So you're out and about. You got all these kiddos, so I'm sure there's activities they're doing. How is it that you invite people to the business? What's your kind of 15 to 20 second elevator pitch?
Yeah, it changes. It really depends on where I am, and it depends on, who I'm approaching. So, generally speaking, if I'm just having a casual conversation with someone, I'm usually asking more questions about them, just being social, just my natural social self. And it just naturally comes up. So I might just say, hey, listen, do you keep your options open for earning extra income on a part-time basis? That's just a generic invitation that I'll throw in there. Maybe if I'm just talking to a cold market person that I don't really know. Another 30 second invitation might be, if I'm being very aggressive, purposefully looking for, new prospects for the business, I might walk up to a person and say, hey, listen, I was just wondering, I'm spearheading the launch of a business opportunity in this marketplace, and I'm looking to expand it in your city. I'm new in town. Wondered if you or anyone if you knew anyone that'd be interested in earning thousands of dollars on a weekly basis, residually as well over a monthly basis, whether you or someone else would be interested in taking a look at what we have to offer. So that might be another invitation that I might use.
Very good. Now, you talked about, you kind of alluded to it a little bit. Maybe you're trying to launch something, or you're going into a new city or whatever the case is. Now, I know that recently you did that in the Ohio market. I know that's where you're from, and currently you're in Chicago. And so can you talk a little bit about what that launch was like, and when you did it, and what kind of a commitment you had to make? Because it wasn't like you were just driving to the city, across the state or whatever. I mean, you actually kind of picked up and kind of moved a little bit, didn't you, for a few months?
I did. My husband and I made a decision that we would spearhead the launch of the state of Ohio for Ambit Energy.
Whoop, whoop. Thanks for doing that.
Yeah, we had to be pioneers in that scenario.
So how did that, what was the first thought that went through your mind, and kind of what was the buildup like, and then what was the reality? You went there, you launched it was exciting, but can you just go through those transitions?
Yeah. So last year, what was last year? 2015, we went to the Ambition Conference, and we were sitting out just with everyone else on Saturday at the big rally. And when they launched or mentioned, you know, Ohio would be a new state that they would open, we just screamed at the top of our lungs and really just started crying about it because, and here's the funny part. I looked at my husband, he was crying, and I was like, what are you crying about? And he said, this is what I've been praying for ever since we got into this business, that they would open up our home state. And he's like, what are you crying about? And I said, well, I'm crying because of the sacrifice that I know we're about to make. And so, you see, Raheem, my husband, he's from Lima, Ohio, lived for a while in Columbus, Ohio, and also went to school at in Athens at Ohio University. And myself, I grew up in Cleveland. So it was just, you know, we living in Chicago for the last 15 years, we just knew that if they opened up the state of Ohio, that would be like our playground. And so we were just waiting for that. And so when they announced it, we knew what actions we were going to take. Here's the thing. We know that whenever Ambit opens up a new marketplace, particularly a state, that there would be tens of thousands of customers that are going to come onto the service. We also know that when Ambit opens up a new state, there's going to be thousands of consultants that are going to come into the business over a period of time. The question is, are they going to come into our business or somebody else's business? So in our minds, we just needed to get out there as fast as possible and pre-launch such that if we could get things started really fast with our excitement and grow a large team, you know, and kind of spiderweb that network throughout Ohio, then we would have a good chance of positioning our family and friends for potential wealth, as opposed to passing on the opportunity, doing nothing, and watching somebody else pioneer the state.
So you guys were real excited about it. You get geared up, and then how do you decide, you know, what days you're traveling? You know, what was that like? You know, because here's the reason why I ask that. When we go to Ambition, it's always excited to hear these new markets because we hear about how many, you know, new people there are and all these different things, right? Now, the one thing for me, and this is Doug Parker speaking, so I'm not speaking, you know, on behalf of Ambit or anything, but I'm in Texas, right? It's a great market to be in. And sometimes I hear people, you know, whether it be in my downline or just at one of the BPs, oh my goodness, they just, you know, announced that they're going to expand, you know, Massachusetts even further. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, if you can't be effective in Texas, all right, what makes you think you're going to be any more effective in Massachusetts? You're not even there, okay? So I always want to be cautious for myself because I can get excited or blinded by the excitement of these new markets opening up. And I look at myself in the mirror and like, look, Doug, you got to be here in Texas. It's a great market, first of all. But also, you know, you got to be able to support your team. When you sponsor new consultants, you got to be there for them and you got to help them. And, you know, eyeball to eyeball, belly to belly is the best way. Of course, you can do a lot over the phone. But when you launched that market, you didn't just take a weekend vacation, you know, there and talk to a couple of your friends and then you left. And then the business started growing. You made some real sacrifices to spend time there, right?
I did. In fact, you know, Raheem and I, after it was so funny, after that was announced, we were still in Dallas, Texas that weekend for the conference, and we went into a conference room and we mapped out with another couple what we planned on doing over however long it would take. We didn't really put any timeline on it, but we made a decision that we would come back home, unpack our bags from Texas, and mom would repack her bags and move to the state of Ohio. So I, you know, there was never a timeline on how long I would be there. We just knew we wanted to just run and make it happen. So yeah, I made a major sacrifice. I mentioned I have three children under, at the time, it was three kids under 5 years old. And mommy moved to Ohio without her family. I left the kids at home. And, you know, the real sacrifice of that was there was no thought initially in doing this. I didn't even consider that this period of time, you know, my one-year-old would be turning two, my three-year-old would be turning four, and I would be turning 40. It would be Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas, like all of those, you know, traditional events that a lot of people rally around in their families that you would say would be important for mom to be home for that. I missed it. I moved. And so the sacrifice for us was get on the whatever it takes program in order to bring more income into our family. And so, you know, it was kind of a non-issue for me and Raheem. I didn't think twice about it. I just picked up, packed my bags, and went to Ohio and just started building a team. And we were there for 14. I was there for 14 weeks. Now, Raheem brought the kids to see me, you know, once a month. But other than that, you know, I just wasn't there. The other thing was, it was interesting. My son had started school for the first time. My oldest son, it was kindergarten. So I was able to take him to school for the first time. You know, cried everything, letting him, you know, walk up to his teacher and did all that. But my bags were packed in the trunk. I dropped them off, got on the highway, and went to Ohio.
Whoa, that's powerful. And, you know, one thing I want to just highlight here real quick, guys, is first of all, Sherelle's commitment, you know, to Ambit. Now, this wasn't on day one, and we started off the conversation by talking about, you know, just consistent, persistent, you know, 15 minutes here and there and being a busy person. Now, obviously, she became successful enough to where she spent a little more time doing it, was able to, you know, kind of get rid of some of the other things that she was doing because Ambit became more of a priority and enough of an income that it made sense to do that. And then ultimately was committed enough for 14 weeks to move to another state to launch it. And it's not like she was a single person without any kids. I mean, she made some significant sacrifices in a very, you know, instrumental time in the kiddos' lives to make this happen. And so I'm truly appreciative of the groundwork you've laid in Ohio. I actually have a couple consultants that are here in Texas, but they are from Ohio as well. And have, you know, gotten some people plugged into some of the things that you're doing up there. And I'm appreciative that we're kind of standing on the shoulders of you as a giant there in Ohio helping getting that launched. But that's just the level of, you know, what you saw. You know, you saw a video, you know, 4 or 5 years ago and thought, oh, this is all right. I think I can make something happen with this, to the point where you saw a significant enough opportunity to take 14 weeks out of your life and move to another state to spearhead the expansion. So that's kind of a transition that occurred, and that's significant. So I'm really, really appreciative of you, you know, sharing that with us. And, you know, what would you say is one of the personal habits that's contributed most to your success?
Gosh, that's a good question. You know, I'm inwardly driven already. So I'm really good at I'm just focused. I think that's a primary attribute that contributes to myself, to my success. I'm just a real focused person. So if there's something that I want, you know, I'll just drill into that and just go and just won't stop. So I think just I'm going to say the persistence and focus, and I have a level of loyalty just ingrained in me, in things that I believe in. If I commit to something, I'm just loyal to that. And so I think that's what happened. I made a decision 4 years ago that this would be our financial vehicle to bring financial independence and freedom to our family. And I believe in the service. I believe in our leadership. I'm loyal to that, and I'm just not quitting. And so, with, you know, coupled with focus, you know, I'm on a mission.
You know, I hear it seems like there's a little bit of Steve Thompson's DNA somewhere around you, because I'm hearing spearheading the expansion, never quit. Yeah. Are you in his organization?
Yeah, he's my mentor. Absolutely.
Yeah, that is good. It's good stuff.
You know, it's funny. I don't even realize that. You know, you have a mentor and you know you're coachable when you start sounding like your mentor.
I promise you. I'm listening to it and I'm thinking, that is fantastic. Steve is a great, obviously, you know, number three income earner in the company, and is willing to help out and do so much. He's done some mentoring with me, and I'm not in his organization. That's what's even cooler about Ambit and the whole culture, is that even though he will never make a dollar off of me, never has and never will, he is just as willing to share and invest in me for no reason other than it's just the right thing to do. And so it's great to see some, you know, his organization doing well, and his fingerprints on your life. So that's really, really good.
And I would add, when I pre-launched the state of Ohio, the very first thing I did when they announced Ohio market expansion, I sent a text to Steve immediately and said, oh my gosh, this is big for us. I'm from Ohio and Raheem is from Ohio. And he said, okay, great. His response was, okay, great. This should be big for you. And that was it. And then later that night at the gala, I was thinking, okay, he didn't really understand what I meant by that when I sent the text. So I went up to him and I said, Steve, this is huge for us. He said, okay, Sherelle, if you pre-launch the state, I'll come out there and I'll help you. And that's what I did. And he stayed true to that. So he was very instrumental in coaching me throughout the days that I was there, making certain I was, you know, headed in the right direction, making certain I had the language to use as I was, you know, going into different businesses and, you know, offering the opportunity, you know, strategically, you know, setting up all the meetings that we set up in Columbus and in Lima and luncheon meetings. Even, I mean, he was there with me, right, you know, all along the way. So having that rock solid individual and mentor, someone who has pretty much launched all of the states in Ambit was definitely instrumental. I'm lucky to have him for a mentor.
Well, you know, we all are, and Ambit is lucky to have him as part of the organization, no question about it. Now, let's talk about memories, because, you know, you talk about a why that makes you cry, and, you know, there's all different kinds of memories. A lot of times when we think about memories, we're thinking about good ones, but it doesn't have to necessarily be that. But, Ken, let's talk about just some of the memories that have been created over the last 4 or 5 years as part of being part of Ambit.
I think the memory that stands out first, it's the most recent memory of launching the state of Ohio. Two things stand out for me then. One was the number of people in jackets, yellow jackets and purple jackets that showed up for that launch. It was incredible. We were thinking maybe 200 or 300 people would show up, but it was more around 500 or 600 people. And it was such a big launch event that we had to ask all the consultants, regionals and above, to leave the room because there were that many prospects, guests that were in the room wanting to hear about what was coming to the state of Ohio. It was unbelievable. So that stands out for me. And also it was toward the end of my run in Ohio too. So it just felt good. It felt like I had accomplished something major. The other thing that stands out for me was when we went out there, we pre-launched the state and built a team of 80 people, in a 6-week time frame before the launch happened. So we had a big enrollment party the night that the rates came out on October the 30th, and we all got in a room and we had food and drinks and music was blasting and we're dancing and we were enrolling consultants and customers at the same time. It was like a big payday. So that was really memorable as well. I've got lots of great pictures and I have friends all over the country that flew in to help me because I was overwhelmed with being able to handle that size team. So I had a lot of folks that flew in to help me enroll everyone and get everyone trained on that weekend. So that was something else that stood out for me.
Cool. And when you did your 5-star trip, where did you get to go?
We went to Mexico.
Cool. That's
Yucatan Peninsula. That's you know, winning that trip was also another memorable moment because I didn't think it was possible that a senior consultant that has never been on the 5-star list would even make it. And I say on the list, every senior consultant is on the list, but I'd never been on the first page of the list, the top 30. And when I saw, it was December of last year, when I saw that as a senior, I was competing with other executives and I was number 26, I thought, oh, that's cool. You know, I actually made it on the first page of the list and I can actually see my name. And then a week later, I was number 16. And I was like, oh, wow, like my team is growing. Like this could actually happen for me. And that was kind of a fleeting thought. But it was the next day, it went down to 14. And when that happened, I thought, okay, wait a second. It's on and popping. I can do this. I can do this if I focus and if I talk to my team and we rally around it. I could win this trip. I could be in the top 10. And so I started really focusing on, you know, how can I, you know, advance the team even further and get them excited around the idea of someone, you know, a leader on their team actually achieving this trip, and see if we could get it done. And so I just went to work. I put my head down, made calls to everyone and said, listen, we got to get this done. This would be huge for us. Because what it does is it paves the way for everyone else in my organization to be able to go to know that I actually achieved this goal. And I ran and ran and ran and actually ended up number one on the 5-star trip.
Ooh, congratulations.
Yeah, and I didn't promote to executive. That was the cool part about it, is that it wasn't until the next year did I promote to executive.
Cool. That, you know, that's really cool because you are competing. I didn't realize this initially for whatever reason, but typically when you're in the SC hunts, you're competing with people that have recently promoted to EC, and they've got their EC and their SC code that they're doing. So that one is ultra competitive unless you have recently promoted to EC. So very, very interesting there. Now, we talked a little bit about objections, you know, the one that I was talking about when people say they're busy, but what's the number one objection that you run into when you're talking to a prospective consultant and, you know, for whatever reason, they said they were open to an additional stream of income, but then they watched the video and then maybe they're like, wah, 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 I want to think about it or whatever. What's the number one thing that you think that they come up with?
It's all over the board. There's only 5 objections, right? And so I hear everything. I hear I don't have the money. I hear I don't have the time. I hear I don't like to sell. I feel like I'm going to have to sell, and I don't know how to sell. I hear, is this one of those things? You know, is this a pyramid? You know, is this illegal? Not comfortable with that. And then I hear I got to ask my spouse. I got to research this. So it's always the same objections over and over again. I wouldn't say I hear there's one that I hear all the time, other than my interpretation of what I'm hearing them say. So they're giving those 5 objections, which is, you know, an excuse. What they're really saying is they either have a limiting belief in themselves and what they believe they can do, or they're saying they have a limiting belief in network marketing and what network marketing can provide to them. That's all I hear. Although they're saying all of these other things, but those are really the main, that's really the main message that's being communicated. Because if I'm able to eliminate the fact that you can do this, you know, if a person's saying, I can't do this, you know, I'm uncomfortable, I feel like I'm doing sales or that sort of, no, you can do this. Because we only do 2 things. We get a handful of customers and we help other people do the same thing. You can do that. So let's you know, unpeel the onion and really talk about why you feel you can't do this. So that's really the issue. That's really what's there for them. Or they're really saying, I just don't believe in the model. And even then I'm saying, okay, let's peel back that onion. Why don't you believe in the model? What happened to you in the past? Who do you know that participated in a model like this and didn't have success? Let's really get down to the root of this, because everything else are surface excuses, surface objections is what I call them.
Sure. No, and you know, I love how you say there are only 5 objections and how you kind of laid that out. It's great information. And then, you know, Zig Ziglar was a mentor of mine, and Zig used to say that people don't change their mind. They make new decisions with new information. So based upon what you're saying is that, you know, whatever it is that they throw at you, and, you know, it's a limiting belief in direct sales or network marketing or themselves or whatever the case is, and then you just kind of continue the conversation with them. And, you know, honestly, I don't know if there's anyone that can't do this business. You know, interestingly enough, Steve's coming to a meeting of ours here in a couple weeks in McKinney, and we're going to have a gentleman that is deaf that is going to do his why. He's a senior consultant, and he is going to tell us his why, and we've got an interpreter that's going to kind of help us out with that. But when I look at someone that is a senior consultant that doesn't hear, and he can't speak, he can type and stuff, but and he's been able to get the senior consultant, I can't think of any excuses that are relevant, honestly, right, if they can get it done, right?
Right.
So it's just a matter of spending time uncovering those things and then working with people and being a leader like you are to kind of help them get through it. Now, I know that you're primarily, I guess, in the Chicago market, and then you're also in Ohio now. What about objections from customers? What types of things do you run into when somebody, for whatever reason, they're just like, no, absolutely not. I'm not going to be a consultant. And then you transition, well, hey, at least be my customer, help me accomplish my goals. And they throw some kind of other objection. What's the number one thing you run into from the customer side of things?
Yeah, on the customer side, they're saying that they've been scammed before, is what they say. That they've been burned before. Living in Chicago, I mean, it's really a saturated market as far as the number of alternative suppliers that have come to the marketplace. And so many of those companies were not good companies. Also, within the last 4 years I've been in the business, we experienced the polar vortex where a lot of those companies weren't able to, satisfy their agreement with the customer with the fixed rate that they offered them. So their rate skyrocketed. And so they just had bad deals all the way around. And so the number one objection is, this isn't real. This is a scam. I was in a contract before. I had to pay more, or I couldn't get out of my contract. I owed, whatever company they were with, they had to pay, thousands of dollars to get out of the arrangement. I mean, it's just, but those are usually the objections for customers.
Gotcha. And, is that one where it's just kind of a spoiled or tainted deal, or are you able to visit with them and kind of navigate them through how we're different, or
yeah,
is it a little bit of both?
That's exactly what I do, is say, okay, I understand. I understand what you experience, and I'm sorry that happened to you, but this is how we're different. I mean, that's basically the format that I use.
Sure.
I become compassionate to what and understanding of what they experience, and I've heard that before. But this is what's different. This is why we're different. And then I start explaining, we don't have a contract. So you're not locked in. You can try the service. If you're not comfortable, you can always go back and pay more, is what I always say, because we have a guaranteed savings in this market. So I say, if you want to pay more, you can. But we're guaranteeing you a savings here with ComEd. I just kind of walk them through who Ambit is as a company, and assurance to them that they do not have to stay with our company should they choose to go back and pay more.
That's great that you share that. And I always like talking to people in different markets because, again, in Texas, a little different. We do have – so there's some great things about the Texas market, but there are contracts, and there is a variable program that is month to month. However, it's much better if they choose some kind of a contract period. But in the Illinois area, it is – there's not a contract. And so they do have the ability just to go back to who they had before and pay more if they just, for whatever reason, don't like the service that we provide.
Right.
And that's a great point to bring up if you're in that market. And which is another thing that is good about knowing the market you're in and really working it. And I just want to, beat that drum. If you're going to go into the other markets, you got to get with one of the other leaders and figure out what it really is, because there are so many moving parts in the different areas, and you want to make sure that you're doing your consultants and especially your customers a true service by knowing what the heck it is that you're doing and not just showing up so you can make some money on them. You got to know what you're doing and make sure that you're taking care of business. So that's very, very important. Now, mm-hmm. We're a little over halfway through the show here, and I just want to kind of hit a couple of quick things on my end. Tipping point for your career. So you jumped in, you saw it, you got it, you watched the videos, you decided to start doing it. But was there a point in your career where you said, I get this, I'm going to start, shutting other things down or really carving out time and stop doing these other businesses? And if so, when was that? What was it in Ambit that allowed you to walk away from the other things? When was that tipping point where you said, you know what, this is absolutely what I'm going to be able to do to provide for my family?
There were multiple tipping points. The first one, really, it's the way you phrased the question when you said, when I decided to focus on this and nothing else, when was that? I mean, that was day one. When I saw the opportunity, I just decided that this would be it, because I got it. I understood it. And I had the vision for it. And my husband was on board in that, you know, he saw the vision too. So it was easy for me to say, this is all I'm going to do. But another tipping point, though, while I was building the business, where I really, my belief really started to increase, it was when I saw my residual income increase. You know, it was so funny. It, you know, for a while, it seemed like it was just creeping along. You know, the first check was, I think, $11, and then it was $18, you know, and it was just kind of incrementally going up. And that, you know, it was cool to see, but I was just like, man, that'll be really cool when I get into the hundreds. And when it popped from, gosh, I don't know what it was exactly. It was like $60 or $80. And I was, and then the next one was over $100. That was real money to me. And once that happened, once I got to $100, it just seemed like it just started compounding after that. You know, then it hit $300, then $600. And when it hit $600 really was like a magic number. It was over $500. That could pay like a, you know, a car note, you know, it was just a big amount of money. And that was where I thought, okay, I get residual income now. This makes a lot of sense. So that was a tipping point for me. Cause I was like, okay, if I can get to 600, I can get to 1,000. And then, you know, when it hit 1,000, it was the same thing. It was another tipping point. I said, okay, this is a train that's not going to stop. So I think it was just watching that residual income increase. And realizing that I personally didn't do a whole lot just in order for that to increase. That was huge.
You know, I'm glad that you kind of brought up that residual piece for just a moment, because when I introduced you, I said you remember the Comma Club. And, you know, a lot of times it may be someone that has found this podcast, and maybe they're not an Ambit consultant, and they're, okay, well, great, she's a Pure Energy Award winner, she's a Comma Club member. What the heck does that mean? Well, Comma Club means you got a comma in your residual check, okay? So that means you got over $1,000 per month coming in residual income. So that is significant. And when you talk about that tipping point, you know, it gets to the point where that's what I saw in the business, was the residual nature. I mean, I've always been able to work hard and make some money, but that residual money is when you're not necessarily working hard anymore and you're still making money. And that's mm-hmm. a really, really cool piece of it. And I think that if you are looking at this opportunity and maybe you haven't made that decision yet, that's one of the primary differences in our business and so many other direct sales companies. You're not having to get people to come out and buy, you know, more, not that there's wrong with any of these things, but more vitamins or more shakes or more whatever's, candles, whatever the case is. They're just getting their same electricity, and nobody ever, you know, has a tough month and says, hey, I need you to shut off my auto delivery of my electricity because, you know, I'm kind of running tight on money right now. They don't do that with our business. So it's definitely a distinct difference in what we do. Now, so when it comes to, you know, kind of presentations, when you're doing the presentation, do you do the corporate videos? Do you do a verbal presentation? Do you do Energy Gold Rush? Tell us a little bit about what you prefer and when you're doing your presentation to folks.
Yeah, I always use a video because that's the best way to duplicate. And I'm always, you know, I know that every time I'm prospecting or showing a guest the business, I want them to be able to walk away from me and experience building the business the right way, which is duplication. So they're just going to do what I do. Or introduce other people to the video the way that I introduced it to them. So I'm always using a video, and I use two videos. I use Energy Gold Rush and I use Energy 526. Ambit, just this last year when they updated the most recent Energy 526 video, where it's a 5-minute video and there's three other videos that talk about the company, the business, and how you get paid, I think it's phenomenal. And then Energy Gold Rush, of course, does the same thing, 5-minute video and then a 15-minute video. So I use them interchangeably, just depending on who I'm sitting with. Typically, if it's someone that I don't know, I will use the Energy 526 video. If it's someone that I know, I use Energy Gold Rush because I'm a featured speaker in Energy Gold Rush. So it gives me some credibility to a person who knows me really well.
Absolutely. Yeah, I recently saw the updated videos, and I'm kind of the same way. I've got the Energy Gold Rush, and I kind of do different ones for different folks. But yeah, but I really love the
updates. And then also it's the diversity. It's the diversity of Energy Gold Rush too. You know, I'm, again, depending on who I'm sitting with, if it's an audience that is a minority, I might share the Energy Gold Rush video with that person. Maybe, not always, but I tend to go in that direction because of that, because it's much more relatable to all people.
Absolutely. No, that makes perfect sense there. And, you know, the last couple of questions I've got for you, one of them, you know, we've talked a lot about the good stuff, okay? And you did kind of flirt with the polar vortex, but can you tell us about a tough time that you've gone through, maybe one of the worst kind of experiences that you've had while in ambit, and then how you transitioned through that? And the reason why I ask that is because that's the reality. We can pump people up and go send them out there into the real world, and then when they get there, sometimes you're going to have a bad day. And I want to make sure that people understand the reality of what we're dealing with, but then more importantly than that, how do they transition through it and they can hear other people's experiences. So can you share some entrepreneurial moment during this time that was just a rough one, and then how you transitioned through it?
Yeah, polar vortex. Really, it didn't have a negative impact on my business because I was just getting started. My business wasn't large enough to feel that impact. So that was kind of neither here nor there for me. But the biggest challenge for me was when the state of Ohio opened, because that's where I had a significant amount of growth, significant amount of customers, and we were launching. And when we launched, the launch rates were not competitive at all. And that was a surprise for us. And so that was a tough one to navigate, because here's what happened. You know, we train the team on gathering customers based on the favor. But when your team grows so quickly, you don't have the time or control to be able to speak and train the depth of the organization. So, you know, our introductory rate didn't come out as a savings initially. It has been fixed since, but it didn't come out that way initially. So when that first bill came out, there was some disappointment in the marketplace. You know, the team, really not the customers. The customers really didn't complain. It was really the consultants. They were expecting to see something lower, and it didn't come out that way. And so that was a challenge. But listen, this is what I knew, and I was training the leaders in Ohio, as you know, they were new leaders. And what I would say to them is always gather customers based on the favor, but also know that we have no idea what the new rate is going to be. We have made a decision to be pioneers in this state. And so when you're a pioneer in the state, you have to be willing to go through all of the early nuances and challenges that might face us, you know, as pioneers in a new marketplace. And we got to be willing to endure through it and work through it. So, you know, I never painted a beautiful picture, because we just didn't know what the picture was going to be. But I just always communicated, listen, you can get your business started now, or you can be a pioneer, or you can wait until everybody else comes into the marketplace, make certain that everything, you know, all of the issues get settled out and resolved and ironed out, and then get in. It's totally up to you. And I don't have a crystal ball to say whether being a pioneer is good or it's bad. You know, whether you should wait until after launch or you pre-launch a state. You know, I think it's an individual preference on how you build your business and how, you know, what your strategy is. So that was a challenging time.
You know, I remember you said pioneer several times during this recording, and I remember a while back, Chris Chambliss, our chief marketing officer, told a story about a pioneer, and I can't remember the gentleman's name, but I'm pretty sure he went to somewhere in Africa, and he was trying to find this specific source of a river or something.
Oh, the Nile. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah. But he was talking about these pioneers that when they would get a wound or like a cut, they would take these big giant ants and have them bite them, and that was their sutures that they would stitch them up with, And when you think about being a pioneer, there's a lot of stuff that, you know, you got to find ways to make stuff work. It's not like you, you know, you've got this great medicine or you know, today's medicine. You got to find a way to work with what you got to work with. And I'm glad that you shared that, because the rates, you know, were what they were. And for whatever reason, they weren't as good as we had hoped. But guess what? You also said, you know what? They came back in, they reevaluated it, and they made a change, being Ambit, you know, took care of it, Ambit Corporate. And, right. You know, they're not perfect, but what they are is leaders and pioneers in what's going on. And if we make a mistake or something's not perfect, they're going to get back in there and try to make adjustments. And you got to have belief in our leaders that they are going to take care of things. And that's a perfect example of it. Didn't come out perfect, but they did make an adjustment as they found out what the market was and what was going on. And right. You just got to be patient. And some people probably jumped off the wagon when they saw that, some of those new consultants, and others stuck in there and continued to make it happen. And you look out and or look up and really it's a life-changing type opportunity. So the last few questions that I've got for you, Ms. Sherrell, are just, you know, as it relates to new marketing consultants kind of coming in, and recommendations that you might have for them, any favorite books that you've got, any favorite quotes, anything like that, just to kind of help them get up and running as quickly as possible.
Well, my number one favorite is audio book, because I rarely have time to sit and read an actual book because I've got the kids. So I try and listen to audio when I'm cleaning the house or sit in the car. I'm really on this these days, and actually from the very beginning, 21 Angry Food Laws of Leadership. I just listen to that over and over and over again, and every time but I get something different out of it because I've grown in the business, and I personally. Maxwell's 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership is one that is a staple, and really the main one.
Well, I'll tell you what, and guys, we do have Ambitious Radio, an agreement with Audible.com where you can get a free book. Just go to ambitiousradio.com, and if you've never taken advantage of it before, you can get a free audiobook. And so there's different ones that are in there. I personally prefer, just like Sherrell, to listen to books. I'm an auditory learner. Part of that's because of time. Part of that's because I just don't like to read. But with that being said, there are many, many good books out there. But we always like to highlight, you know, successful people and what their favorites are. And so that is one that is a great, great book. Matter of fact, I've got a couple of those audiobooks on CD here that we have at our business presentation for new consultants. Now, you personally, hard charging, three kids, working, intense, you know, you got a certain drive, but what do you do to recharge?
Oh man, what do I do to recharge? I love to go to the movies, and I'll go alone. You know, I'll just, hey, I'll be back, honey. I'm going to be gone for the afternoon. I'm going to go see a movie and relax, or sleep. I mean, that's really what I do. And you know, when I recharge, I guess it is recharging. I'm really crashing is what's happening, because I'm at full steam ahead all the time. And when I crash, I just do nothing. Literally, I will get in pajamas and just stay in pajamas all day long, lounge around, and just do absolutely nothing. And that works for me, because I can just, you know, my brain can just do what it does.
Sure.
So recharging, I guess that allows me to get myself back together, get my thoughts together, and recharge. That rarely happens. Like I said, I'm just driven and I just run constantly. So that's probably an area of development that I can improve upon, is to take a moment every once in a while to recharge. So,
well, that, you know, yeah. That makes sense. And everybody has different things that they do. And sometimes, yeah. You know, they don't even realize they're grinding it out so hard that, if you don't recharge, you can become non-productive. You may be still going through the motions,
yeah.
But you're
yeah.
not productive. And so you got to yeah. find ways, you know, to do that. Last question I've got for you is, if you could go back and give yourself one piece of advice at any point during your life, what would it be, you know, and what were you doing during that time? And it cannot be, I would have gotten involved in Ambit quicker. Okay. So that can't be the answer, but if there's any piece of advice you could have given yourself, what would it have been and when?
I would say not to take everything so personal. You know, I've had some, my career has always been very stressful, and just working in a consulting environment, and the people that I reported to always brought a great challenge to me. And I took it personally because it was, we were just always on such a timeline and deadline because we were in client service, and the amount of stress that I would carry with me in order to meet deadlines and to, you know, provide a perfect product to the client, it just took on a life of its own. And I know that, you know, stress can kill people, you know, stress breeds illness. And so, you know, my life lesson, and even during that period of time, those first 10 years of my career, my working career, is to make certain that I'm not taking anything personal, and that I have a choice to walk away. And I think that was not something I thought that I could do, because I thought I needed that salary that I got every single month to pay the bills. I thought I had no choice but to work for someone else. I felt stuck. And so there were many nights that I'd come home stressed. I'd be crying, because I knew I'd had 3 or 4 more hours of work to do. I'd come home from work at 10, but I still had 3 or 4 more hours of work to do at home on my laptop, and I'd have to start it all over again. I was exhausted. It was just ridiculous. But I kept doing it over and over again. Didn't think I had a choice. I thought that's what I had to do for the rest of my life. And I didn't. So knowing that if I knew at the time that there was a way out, that I had, and remember, the way out for me was not Ambit Energy. I left, I quit my job, and I started a real estate company where I created money on my own. I didn't know that I could run a profit center just because I'm my unique self, because I have great attributes. You know, I can actually be an entrepreneur and create something from nothing. I didn't know that until I took that step out of corporate America and started that real estate company. So if I had known all along those 10 years that I didn't need a job, that I could create an income stream for myself in this free enterprise system, I may not have been so stressed out during those 10 years of working, feeling like I had no choice.
You know, that's great information to end on, is just to let you know that you have choices. You really do. Sometimes in life you don't feel like that, but if you evaluate the situation, you take a step back, you really look at it, and you know, it's not that you just walk away necessarily. You got to have a plan of some sort. But the great thing about America is that there's all these opportunities, and I love it when we go to, whether it's a business presentation or, you know, simulcast or Ambition, and you see all these folks that are not American. You know, they've come over from other countries, but they get the American way, and they came here because they can make it happen in this free enterprise system, and they just put their head down and they go to work. And it's amazing what can happen if you just put your head down and go to work. So with that being said, we're kind of at the end of the show, but is there anything else that you'd like to share as we kind of wrap up?
No, other than the fact that I'm just super excited. I'm paving a pathway for my family. I'm paving a pathway for the team. And I am nowhere near where I want to be. I have so much more pathway to pave. So I'm about to put my head down again, and I'm going back to Ohio, and I'm going to do it all over again. I'm just going to keep on pushing.
Well, I appreciate you so much coming on the show. Without great guests like yourself, we couldn't make this possible, and I know how busy folks are, and they're carving out time. As I mentioned earlier, I am not on Steve's team, which means I'm not on your team necessarily as far as the pay line goes, but we're all on Team Ambit. So I appreciate you sharing your experiences with us and Ambit Nation so that others can learn from your successes and get to the next level. With that being said, guys, remember, we just finished up our big event, of ambition, but Simulcast is coming up, and Chris Chambliss said it is going to be one of the biggest announcements that has ever been made, an announcement that is likely to help us double our revenue over the next couple of years, and ultimately the goal is to get it to the $6 million mark over the next several years. So with that, I mean, $6 billion with a B. And so, guys, remember, you can make money or you can make excuses, but you cannot make both. So go out there and be ambitious.
You've been listening to Ambit Energy's Ambitious 50, presented by the Ambitious Radio Network and hosted by serial entrepreneur Doug Parker. Join us weekly as we have engaging conversations with Ambit leaders on topics that can be applied to your business immediately after listening. Like what you've heard? Listen to other interviews at ambitiousradio.com or subscribe on iTunes.